Today on Real Radio.
The word means that God, for every Christian, has tailor-made you for a certain thing to do. And that thing that God has, listened, put in your life to do, you will love it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that looks at chapter 12, where Paul lists and deals with spiritual gifts. When we think of spiritual gifts, we often have a tendency to think of tongues or prophecy or what have you, but it goes far beyond that, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his mini-series called What Makes a Church Relevant.
And so I'm here in this church, Lord, what is it that you're speaking to me? What gift have you given me? Why? Because it's to edify, the equipping of the saints will be a ministry which results in edifying the body of Christ. Does that excite? I hope that excites you, man. I hope that pumps you up. So, man, you know, I don't know. Let me tell you, one taste of being used by God. Oh, I don't want this to sound wrong. And don't do what I'm about to say. This is a sarcasm, okay? I'm being sarcastic right now. If you don't think that verse is true, then go do all the drugs you can do. Go run around the planet, try everything you can. Sign up for whatever you think you need to sign up for. And when you have destroyed your life and have run yourself empty, then come right on back and find out that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life and says, hey, Bob, this is the gift I've given you. Use it. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. You can try the junk of the world and you'll be destroyed. When God uses you, listen, I can tell you, when God uses you, you might be exhausted, but it's a good exhaustion. It's like, yeah, and there's nothing like it. And I want you to know that. If you don't know that, I'm so excited for you. I really am. It's life-changing. Verse 4 also teaches us this, that where God is at work, there'll be unity around the truth. I want you guys to write this down because it's so important. Today in Christendom, we've got this big push. Listen carefully. We have this big push in Christendom today in what is called Christianity to be unified. We need to be united. We need to be united. And it's unite, unite, unite for the, unite. No. What? Listen, it is a very wrong thing to unite outside of the truth. When people today, this is a big deal. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, then you're at peace. But if you do know what I'm talking about, you see the false doctrine floating around Christianity today coming out of pulpits that we just need to unite. Let's unite. Let's lay down our differences. Doesn't that sound sweet? Hey, look, that sounds fantastic if you're at war with some country. But you never put truth on the altar and sacrifice it for unity. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. Isn't unity all important? No. Are you kidding me? Do you know what unites us as true believers? The truth. I got a nasty letter from somebody last week. Actually, I get nasty letters from people every week. And by the way, if you're writing down now a nasty letter right now to send me, I have to let you guys know something. I need to remind you. The mail I get, if it's not signed with an ability for me to return your comment, either by phone or by address, if you don't sign it with your name, I don't read it. As soon as I get it, I look to the back and I see if it's signed and I can reply to whatever's about to be said. If it's not signed, if there's no way for me to dialogue with you, I ball it up and throw it away. You say, doggone it. I wrote you a nasty letter a couple weeks ago, and that means you didn't read it. That's right. I haven't read a nasty letter in 20 years. If it's not signed, look, if it's signed, if it's nasty and it's signed, I'll read it. I can see some people go, make a note of that, honey. Doggone, I got to write that note over again. When we sacrifice God's truth, God's doctrine, God's revealed word so that we can have a kumbaya moment and say that we're okay with God, we're false. The truth unites us. And when the truth goes out into this congregation and somebody is diametrically opposed to the truth and then scolds me because I'm not promoting a spirit of unity, what I was really being invited to was, that Bible of yours is 2,000 years old. Don't you know that our modern age has arrived? And you just need to promote unity. Take the Bible and flush parts of it down the toilet. Let's just hug one another. I'll hug anyone who's at the truth. Right? And what is the criteria for the truth? The Word of God. When we operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, I have the gift of running around barking like a crazy dog, going crazy. Oh, no. No, you don't. And the truth is going to come get you and say, sit down, calm down, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But listen, I want to say this. I do believe in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as described in the Bible. You say, well, how come we don't see all of them working? That's not God's fault. That's our fault. Well, I saw some lady, she was doing this thing, and I won't believe in that gift anymore. Oh, listen. I lament over the abuses of the gifts too. That doesn't make them not true. It means that they've been abused. All of the gifts of God given to the body of Christ are for the edification of the body of the believers, the church. And just because some denomination or some group of people ruins the practice of those gifts doesn't make them not true. It means that we need to stick to the Bible and stick to the truth. But there's the unifying work of the Holy Spirit around the truth, and the proper use of the gifts will strengthen the body of believers. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word or communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not, listen everyone, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That means to make sad. The Holy Spirit can be saddened, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's an awesome verse. The Holy Spirit is the manager of the church. Do you know that? And he's looking for devoted, single-hearted Christians, loyal, faithful, true lovers of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is looking for you. And if these things are not in your heart, then why would God give you a gift or an empowerment of the Holy Spirit if you are not concerned about exalting Jesus, but you want to exalt yourself? You don't love the brothers and sisters. You have these selfish motives or ambition. And you say, God, give me these powers. I think the church today suffers from a powerless witness because, as James warns us, we often pray and seek things to try to gain them for our own use or for our own attention. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. I read a great illustration. It's a World War II illustration. Comes out of the World War II era in the 40s. A young man and young woman were engaged to be married. War breaks out, and he's called away to war. He writes her letters. Listen, he writes her letters, and he's faithful to send her gifts. She begins to get a little sloppy in her devotions to him. She begins to hang out with old friends. That story went on to say that she began to allow herself to be going on friendly dates with other guys. And a neighbor wrote her fiance. And that neighbor said, your fiance may not be as faithful as she once was. And it affected the man's heart. And he wrote her a letter. And he said, I can't bear to keep this secret any longer. Is it true that you're carousing and you're going out and you're seeing other guys? And she said something like, what do you expect me to do? You've been gone for 2 years. His letters became infrequent. The gifts began to cease until he came back. And at that, the story ended. About killed me. I wanted to know more. What happened? And you think about the church. Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go. I'm going to ascend, and I'm going to call the Holy Spirit. He'll come. On the day of Pentecost, he will come to you. And he will give you gifts. And you will have power. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, there is absolutely no lack of resources from the day of Pentecost to this second. Amen. God is not some sort of a goofball, take it back giver. What he gave 2,000 years ago is available to us now. And if we're running in the deficit, if your personal Christianity or mine is weak, it's not him. We have somehow allowed other things. We've been courted, dated. We've been flirted. We've allowed ourselves to be flirted with other things of this world. And the letters come less frequent. And the gifts are not being given or being sent out to us. Because why? Because you know what? We've got other affections. And my heart's desire is that this church be so radically sold out for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, look around at the news. Look around this week and next week in the news. I don't know, but we may not have much time left. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean? I don't know what I mean. I just know this. Israel is being surrounded. The world has turned against it. And the Jerusalem Post today said, Israel alone. And listen, if Jesus is coming soon, and if these prophetic things are happening in our world, global economy failing, Europe crying for some sort of a financial genius to pull it out of its mess. Hello, I know who that is. I mean, I don't know his name, but the Bible calls him Antichrist. The Bible says this guy's going to come on the scene and fix it all. Is Europe not in a mess? Oh, it's in a mess. In fact, we don't look so bad compared to Europe, and we're in bad shape. The world's a mess. There's trouble in the Middle East. Economies are failing. It's a perfect time for the false Messiah to arrive. Think about it. How close are we? I don't know. I think we're close. What do I do? What do I do? Go sit on top of the roof and wait for Jesus to come back. No. You get busy about your Father's business. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and His power. And you find out what your role is in the body of Christ. And you get engaged in the body of Christ. No more spectators. It's not acceptable. Verse 5 says this, in this also, we know that there's a new direction in this, in the direction of function. Verse 5 says there are differences of ministries, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries. The word ministries here means tending, caring, loving, servicing the church. There are different caring, tending, loving, servicing the church ministries, but notice it's the same Lord. This unification of direction also breeds function. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 4, but as we have many members in one body, but all members not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having then gifts differing. Isn't that cool? Having gifts differing. We all don't have the same gift. According to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, that means proclaiming the word of God. That doesn't mean telling your future. If somebody grabs your hand and says, hey, let me prophesy your future, run. In fact, tell me, point out the person. I need to know who that is. That's not what the verse means. The word means to proclaim the word of God, to prophesy. It doesn't mean to tell the future. It means to put forth the word of God. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. Romans 12, 8 says, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What a great thing that is. Okay, church, we're almost done. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 10, I love this, for we are his workmanship, Those of you who raised your hands a moment ago, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That means out of your life, Christian, will flow good works, which God prepared beforehand that we, or you, us together, should walk in them. Amen. Let me break this down. Watch this. I hope this pumps you up. I couldn't wait to get to this verse. The word workmanship is where we get the English word poem. We are his poem, his creation. The word is production, creation, invention. So read it. Look at that verse. For we are his invention, poem, creation, created for good works. The word means good labors, good toil. It means to be a good project, to be a good effort. God says this. Prepared beforehand, this gets me more excited than anything. The word means that God, for every Christian, has tailor-made you for a certain thing to do. And that thing that God has, listen, put in your life to do, you will love it. You say, Pastor, are you serious? Wait a minute. I was totally resistant to this message until you just said that. I was afraid that God was going to send me to Detroit. No, listen. If God's going to send you to Detroit, you're going to fall in love with Detroit. It's amazing. You say, well, okay, I'm open to what God wants to do, but as long as I'm not an evangelist, I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. And guess what? The moment you say, Lord, I'm now open to what you want to do in my life, guess what happens? It's supernatural. You will begin to really care about the lost, and you're going to want to reach them. You might say, well, Pastor, I just have a keen hunger to study the Bible. Really? Dive in. Read the Bible, study the Bible, find out what the words mean. Why? It may very well be that God is calling you to be a teacher or to be a pastor teacher. You might say today, Pastor Jack, I'm gifted at business. I have a business or I have businesses and I have income. I've got money and I don't love it. I want to use it for the glory of God. God has given you the gift of giving. I just read it in Romans 12 a moment ago. And that person, the gift of giving, it's freaky weird because they see a need, they pray about it and they meet that need. They write a check. They drop cash to that need. And you say, well, wow, that's amazing. God uses them. Everything they touch turns to money. And they turn it around and they build the kingdom of God. And you say, really? Can I have that gift? That's not your gift if that's your attitude. They have the ability to build the body of Christ that way. Maybe for you it's administration. That's a real gift of the Holy Spirit. To be an administrator in the body of Christ, to strengthen the church. The Bible says in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's what Paul said. Did you hear that? Look, I can tell you this. That verse right there, that verse, look at that verse right there. For me personally, I would say about 22 years ago, 23 years ago, God gave me that verse in a time of fasting and prayer. I was asking God, Lord, speak to me about what gift you have for my life. That verse, God gave me that verse. And let me tell you, it made no sense to me. When I read it, I said, that's for somebody else. I'm not joking with you guys right now. You can ask Lisa. I read that and I said, there's no way. Number one, I can't imagine being a proclaimer of God's word. There's just no way. But what came back to haunt me over and over again was, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. That got my attention because I'm the survivor of a failed abortion. So that caught my attention. Wow, could God have been in this? And I stuttered really bad and God healed me of my stuttering. Things began to come together to the point in my life where woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Began to cook in my heart. He will change your life. That's what he does. All for this. Listen, all for this. We close with verse 6. In the direction, we know that there's a new direction, and that new direction is of maturity. Verse 6 says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. That word all in all means that we are growing as believers from grace to grace. We are growing. Church, please listen. I hope you can say this. My fear is that I would have failed you if today you cannot say that you've grown more in 1 year here listening to the word and growing. And that should be true every year. If that's happening, then God is at work. And that's an exciting thing. And that's what we want to hear. This all in all is a wonderful expression of God maturing his church, his local church, in the word of God by the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, here we go. I'm going to lay these things out. I'm just going to ask you to think about them. Why should you and I care about chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians? I'll give you 10 things right here, right now. Number one, that we would discover our gifts because they will result in personal and body edification. Number two, it will cause you to want to get out of your comfort zone. Did you hear what I said? It will cause you to want to get out of your comfort zone. If Christianity is boring, you're doing it wrong. Number three, your Bible knowledge will begin to take off like you've never dreamed. Number four, others will need to have what you have. Five, the church will not be held back by you any longer. You are now a working, viable part of this journey. Six, this is the glorious death to ourselves that the Bible speaks about. There's liberty in picking up your cross and following him. Number seven, your growth will encourage others to grow as well. Growth causes growth. Sheep produce sheep. Number eight, your faith will develop stronger like no other way possible. Number nine, you will be taken places that you never thought of. God will grab you and take you. Number 10, you will delight in being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You will be gloriously, humbly confident in the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the title of this study, What Makes a Church Relevant? It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at this section of Paul's letter where he lists and then deals with spiritual gifts. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series is available on a 5-DVD set. It's called The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. Once again, The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. Here at Real Radio, we get a lot of calls, a lot of emails from believers asking about what they can do to contribute to the work of the kingdom, at times implying that they kind of feel lost in that department. Well, if you're one of those folks, the Bible says there is a place in the body of Christ designed for you. If the church is going to be relevant in the 21st century, we have to know how and where we fit into that picture. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 addresses this perfectly. Discover your gifts. Learn how you fit, where you fit, and how you can make a difference. It really is critical to your spiritual growth. Learn how to function and connect to other people in the body of Christ. Get Pastor Jack's 5-DVD set called The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. It's yours for a tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write. It's real easy. Visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll see right away where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Or if you prefer the more traditional way, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Mention it by name, The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. Our phone number is easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all this contact info can be found easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.